Right.
Anyone know who that is? It's not someone you'd naturally... lots of you might know them, but you might not know what they look like. A stranger. Yeah, they're a stranger to you. Yeah. This is James Patterson. Who knows James Patterson? Who knows who James Patterson is? A writer, yes. 400 million copies of his books sold. $700 million in income from those sales in one decade. 6% of all US hard copy novels purchased. And he's been in the news this week. Anyone see that? Oh, good. He has said that white men face another form of racism and are being pushed out of the publishing industry. So apart from the irony of a near billionaire making these claims, Patterson is expressing a fear increasingly held by many older males that society doesn't want to hear their views. Max Rashbrook of Victoria University of Wellington, Te Heringa Waka, says about this, that many men are feeling like their opinions are being scorned and denigrated, which frightens them deeply. They want to be heard. They want to be respected. Points that traditionally marginalised groups have often made. Now that I'm 42, and if you're familiar with the joke in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, not only am I increasingly becoming a frail male, pale stale male, but I also have more insight as to the meaning of life. I joke. But Max Rashbrook believes society wanting pale stale males to sit down and shut up is not about wishing that they weren't contributing, and it's not wishing that they weren't existing, or for them to be cancelled, or for them to be silent. He sees this as a misunderstanding. What he observes, and I think he's bang on, is a desire for us older white guys to be humble. It's not the speaking that's the problem. It's the dominating, the need of so many men to assertively talk at length. Time my sermon. It's the need of so many men to speak over others and to assume theirs is the most interesting and most important voice. What's needed is humility. Anyone see this in the news this week? Oh, Kathy did. So this pic is at a tech conference where there was an all-male panel set up. One panel member, however, realised this and invited any woman in the audience to get up and contribute into this panel, because there was lots of very experienced, very onto it people there. And then they took the other seat on the other side. Humility. What is humility? What does it mean to be humble? Wikipedia is pretty helpful here. Humility is being unselved. I like that. Unselved. Unselved? Hadn't thought about how to say that word. It's a freeing from always thinking of ourselves. Now, there can be a fake or a false humility. I think this is pretty common, where we might put ourselves down. And I think that this is false humility, as the focus remains on ourselves. Really, this is a form of pride. Whereas true humility has been said to not be thinking less of ourselves, like putting ourselves down, not be thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Jesus' close friend Peter writes in his first letter to the church at large, to clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. These words are specifically said to the church. This is about our relationships with one another, how we view one another, how we talk to and how we talk about one another. Clothing ourselves is something we intentionally do, because if we don't, we'll get cold or sunburned. We'll get very uncomfortable, and we'll make other people pretty uncomfortable too. We clothe ourselves to avoid arrest from indecent exposure. Clothing ourselves with humility speaks of intentionality. It doesn't just happen. Like how we put on clothes, we intentionally put on humility. We can choose to be humble, and specifically, humble towards one another. The sentence following this instruction from Peter to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another, the following sentence is he quotes from the wisdom writing in Proverbs, which says, "For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble." So being proud is the opposite of being humble. People who think they know best, or think they are better, or who are certain of their ways being right, proud people, as Judy mentioned, they're pretty easy to spot. We generally have a bit of an inbuilt pride-o-meter, which makes us sort of recoil from proud people, don't we? They're generally not that pleasant to be around. Augustine of Hippo, that's a funny one, isn't it? I think that's in Algeria, modern-day Algeria. I just realised that yesterday. Was a 5th century bishop, huge church leader, theologian, massively, one of the most influential people. He wrote these words, for good and bad. He wrote these words. The way to Christ is first through humility. Second, through humility. And third, through humility. If humility does not precede and accompany and follow every good work we do, if it is not before us to focus on, if it is not beside us to lean on, if it is not behind us to fence us in, pride will wrench from our hand any good deed we do at the very moment we do it. Sometimes, you know how sometimes we have these experiences in life and they just really stay with us, and they're really quite formative, like, moments in life where just something clicks and we go forward from there, hopefully in a positive way. I had one of those. I'll always remember, like, going back a while, I'll always remember my frustration at drivers. I wonder if I've told this story before, I'm not sure. My frustration at drivers who wouldn't indicate if they were turning at a roundabout. I'd recently gotten my full license, so, you know, it's way back. And I thought I was doing a pretty awesome job of driving. I'd always indicate because I was responsible and thoughtful and much better than all those other knucklehead Auckland drivers who didn't indicate. Now, that was until an indicator bulb blew on my Mazda 626. And I took a few days to notice that. So along with disapproving stares when I was turning at roundabouts, just like the stares I would give, I eventually realised about this broken bulb, and I was mortified that I had pointed the finger so harshly and proudly at others. I realized pride had led me to judge others as being less than myself, and it made me consider in what other ways this affected my life. Oh, I still think of that sometimes when I forget my indicator. It's a bit like the story Jesus told of a person praying to God by asking for forgiveness as they knew God was good and great and that they'd made mistakes. They wanted to renew their relationship with God. And there was an onlooker, an insider, a religious person who started praying too, thanking God that they weren't like that sinner and carrying on about the good that they do. Jesus makes it pretty clear he's a fan of people being honest about themselves and a fan of being more concerned about God and others. There's an important place in gathered worship for thinking of God's greatness and goodness, like how we've sung to God this morning. Worship helps us think more about God and less about ourselves. It helps align us afresh and keep things in perspective. So what might this call to clothe ourselves with humility towards each other mean for us as a faith community? I think there's good doses of humility amongst us. But as I said earlier, being humble is an intentional action we choose. This applies in all areas of life. And it applies to us as we gather together on a Sunday to meet and as we share life outside of Sunday. So coming up this year, we'll be studying the Bible with a view to making a decision as a church as to whether we affirm and support marriage for all people, especially those in the Rainbow community. I think clothing ourselves with humility towards one another means entering into this series and process with openness. Open to hearing what the Bible says and doesn't say. Open to learning how people with different views get to the positions that they have got to. Open to considering what it's like for people different to us. Open to each other through times of sharing and discussion in the way we deeply listen to them. And open because we might not currently have all the answers. We might not know best. We might not be better or have better views. And if we think we have all the answers and know the truth and are better than others and so don't need to be open, then this piece of scripture calls us to lay these attitudes aside and instead enter into difference with humility, with openness and respect for each other. Let's clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. I love how we hold a range of beliefs and yet continue beautifully in relationship with one another. It takes humility to do this. And I have a heap of confidence that we will be humble towards one another as we engage with this. May we always clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. I'm going to finish with an ancient hymn about Christ's humility. No, I'm not going to be singing. That certainly would be humiliating. But from the New Testament letter to the Philippian people, it describes Jesus' power as God in heaven, yet how he chose intentionally to be humble. This is what it says. As you deal with one another, you should think and act as Jesus did. In his very nature, he was God. Jesus was equal with God, but Jesus didn't take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. He did this by taking on the nature of a servant. He was made just like human beings. He appeared as a man. He was humble and obeyed God completely. He did this even though it led to his death. Even worse, he died on a cross. And so, may we too serve one another. May we be at peace with one another. And may we clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. Amen.